Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
I want to take this moment yet again to welcome you in the presence of the Most High again. Thank you so much for choosing to be in His presence. Thank you so much for setting aside the time to be in the at the feet of our Master. We remember that story in the Bible where He visits Martha and Mary, and we know that Martha is busy doing many other things. She was busy doing many things preparing for the Lord, but the Bible says that Mary sat at her feet, at the feet of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said that Mary had chosen the best thing, and what she had chosen, nobody could take it away from her. And this is what you have done this evening. You have chosen the best thing, and nobody can take it away from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I just want to, this evening, I just want us to talk about some conditions, about the conditions for blessings. There are many. But we're going to talk about some key ones that Paul speaks about as he speaks to the church of Colossae. And those conditions apply to all of us. And this evening, we're going to learn a few things together. We are going to remind ourselves of the scriptures. Most of these things we know, but we just need to keep reminding ourselves about them so that they remain at the forefront of our minds as we continue to traverse this world, in our own little worlds, wherever we are. Amen. So I'm going to draw your attention to Colossians, the epistle of Paul to the Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be in chapter 1, and we will be jumping up and down the Bible as the Lord leads. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the praise for your word. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to be reading from verse 15. Paul is talking about who Jesus Christ is. He's painting a picture to us, to the church at Colossae, and to all of us as Christians, so that we may know and value what we accepted. We may value Jesus Christ, because in most cases, some people do not understand what they believed, or what they entered into, or in whom they were baptized into. So we need to know who He is, so that we can respect that which He secured for us and gave us as a gift, the gift of God. You know, if you send somebody a gift and they misuse it, they don't understand it, they don't value it, they will misuse it. And so this is what God did. God sent us a gift, for the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He did what? That He gave. He gave us a gift. He gave Himself as a gift. He gave His Son as a gift, that He may die for us, that He may take our place as sinners, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That death that Jesus Christ took was meant to be for us. But if we do not value who He is, or if we do not know who He is, you cannot value Him. You cannot value what you don't know. You understand? If you got a note, a 50-pound note, and went into a village somewhere in Africa and just gave it to the kids, they wouldn't know what it was, what it is. They would play around with it and, not knowing that it is serious money. So that's how we are. If as Christians we cannot know who Jesus Christ is and begin to get that revelation of who He really is, then we miss the mark. So we're going to read from verse 15. This is what it says. It talks about Him as the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature, because the Bible tells us in John 1:1, before the world was, that he in the beginning was the Word. He was there in the beginning before every other thing came. Yeah? And verse 16 he says, for by him, by who? By Jesus, were all things created. We know that again from John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Nothing that was made that was not made by the Word. So by him, all things were created. This is the Jesus Christ that is sat in your heart, if you believe him as Lord and Savior. By him, all things, not some things, but all things that were created. They that are in heaven and they that are on earth. The visible and the invisible. There are many things that you can never see with our naked eyes. But yet they exist. Just because you cannot see doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Hallelujah. The visible and the invisible. Whether they be thrones, all power belongs to him. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. By him and for him. You were created by him and you are for him. Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome to belong to God, to belong to Jesus? And then verse 17 he says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Without him, nothing can consist. Without him, no system can consist. Without him, no government can consist. Men will boast up and down thinking they are the ones in charge, but they are not in charge. Nobody is in charge but him. For in him we live, move, and have our being. Hallelujah. By him, all things consist. He holds the center together. What a powerful God, what a powerful Christ that we have, what a powerful Jesus that we have. And in verse 18 it says, and he is the head of the body. Now he is coming to us. He is the head of the body. Which body? The church. He is the head of the church. Hallelujah. That's why, for me, I normally do not even want to call myself a senior pastor. I call myself a lead pastor, because the senior pastor is Christ. He is the senior pastor. He's the head. Do you understand? He is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. The one who resurrected, the first resurrection that continues to live up until now. He is the firstborn. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Mark that word, all. In all things he may have the preeminence. So all other things are subject to him. All other things are below him. People may not know him. People may not worship him. He does not change anything. He is the head of all of them. All things consist in him. Why? Listen, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should dwell all fullness. All fullness dwells in him. If you are lacking in anything, if you are empty in any shape or form, there is nothing that can fill you but Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Because in him dwells. He is a house of fullness. If you want fullness, you run to him. You understand? Instead of people run to alcohol, people run to womanizing, people run to drugs, but all that is empty. That is emptiness. It's like you are digging deeper. But if you are short of anything, there is something where you are lacking in anything, let's run to the house of fullness, because in him dwells all fullness. In Christ alone dwells all fullness. Hallelujah. And verse 20, he says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, of his cross. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the enemy came and deceived man and moved him from his place. He moved him from the presence of God. The word Eden means a place, a presence of God. A place with the presence of God. A place where the presence of God dwells. And that's what the enemy does. In fact, in James, the Bible says that do not think that God tests any man or tempts anybody. We are only tempted when we are drawn away from his presence by our own desires. We are drawn away from his presence by our own desires. And guess whose desires those are? Those desires are the enemy's desires. Any desire that draws you away from God is the enemy's desire. So the moment the enemy came in and brought a rift between God and man, he created a gap. He created a rift. And Jesus Christ comes to create peace, because the Bible says that we man and God were in a process in enmity. There was enmity between God and man because of sin. But this Bible right now in this version, in this verse, Paul is saying, verse 20, that he came to make peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace through the blood of his cross, and by him to reconcile, again that word, all things. All things were reconciled back to God at that cross by his blood. You understand the heaviness of this man called Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who is able to reconcile everything back to God. What kind of power is that? He says, and by him I say, whether there are things on earth or things in heaven, he reconciled everything back to God. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5 speaks about this quite well. It says he reconciled man back to God and gave us, you and I, the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we, if you are in him, you cannot afford to be in enmity with anybody, because there's no enmity in him. You understand? You cannot afford to hold a grudge and call yourself a Christian, because Christ does not hold grudges. He is a reconciler. You understand? So if you have some grudges with somebody, my friend, you need to repent. Just it's not worthwhile. It's not worth the pain of carrying along some people in your heart. It's like acid. Acid does not burn something that's outside the container. Outside, acid burns the inside of the container even more than the thing outside, unless it's released. So a person who goes around with enmity and all that is like he's burning on the inside, yet the other person is going all along with his life. So let us follow in the footsteps of Christians, of Christ, and be reconcilers, because he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We, you and I, are ambassadors of reconciliation. Wherever we go, we reconcile people. Amen. And verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Did you hear that? Once upon a time, you and I were alienated from him, very far from him, and were enemies. We are enemies with God. Can you imagine being an enemy of God? That is too much, man. We're enemies of God. Why? Because of the wicked works that were in our minds. But right now, because he came by the blood of his cross, he has reconciled us back to God, and now we are in good books with God. Amen. He has reconciled us. It's in verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. To present you and I. This is why he came. This is why Jesus Christ came. That he may present me and you through his body, through death. That he may present us as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. What a powerful act that happened on that cross. So that when God looks at you, he does not look at your sin, he looks at Christ. And when he looks at Christ, he remembers that you are holy. He's sanctified. But there's a condition. He says, verse 23 continues, but all this will happen if you continue in the faith. Mm-hmm. For that to continue happening, me, you and I have got to continue in the faith. We have got to continue. Continuously in the faith. We do not take a break. We do not take a holiday. We continue in the faith. And listen to what he's saying. Grounded and settled. If we continue to be grounded, that's the condition. Number I told you we are talking about the conditions of being blessed, the conditions of receiving those blessings that are from on high. Number one, we need to continue in the faith. Number two, you need to be grounded in the faith. Grounded. You need to be settled, not jumping up and down, left, center, and right. Today you are in the faith, tomorrow you are out. You continue. The word is continue. Continue in faith, grounded in faith. Continue and be settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. My goodness. The hope of the gospel. There is hope in the gospel. The gospel is the gospel is the word gospel means good news. Good news. Evangel. That's why we call the people are called evangelists. Evangel means good news. And that's the gospel. So we cannot run away. You cannot break yourself off the hope of the gospel. You can't. You understand? You have to be settled in the hope of the gospel. It says, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Continue in faith. Continue grounded grounded in the faith, settled in the faith, and making sure that you are not turning away. You are not moved away. The word is moved away from the hope of the gospel. There are many things that come to move us, but we must be immovable. If we are to be presented as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. You understand? Let's read Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Child of God, in this dispensation, you need to be strong in the faith. You need to be grounded in the faith. You need to be settled in the faith. You need to be immovable from the hope of the gospel. Why? This is what he says. Beware. No. Let's read from verse four. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, please. Sorry. Amen. And he says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Because there will be people who will entice you with words that, who will beguile you, who will try to move you with enticing words. So, verse 5. For though I be present in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Steadfastness of faith in Christ is something that is very, very, very needed in the day in which we are. You need to be steadfast, child of God. Because if you're not steadfast, there are many things that are going around, many words that are going around. And these days we have got what's called fake news. We also, as we have fake news, we also have fake gospel. So if you're not rooted in the faith, you, rooted in the faith, in the word that you have heard, in the word of God, in Christ, rooted in Christ, rooted in Christ. The Bible calls Christ the hope of our glory. That is for Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. He is the hope of our glory, rooted in Christ. Remember yesterday we talked about roots. We are still talking about roots. Rooted so that you are steadfast in your faith in Christ. Verse 6. verse 6 of chapter 2, Colossians. It says, and as you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. If you received him, walk in him. How? Rooted. That word rooted, you've got to be rooted. Your root has got to be has got to go very, very, very far. Have you seen these trees that are being swayed and just because just wind has come and they are on the ground? But they are strong trees. However much they are being swayed by the wind, they cannot be toppled. They cannot be uprooted. Why? You know why? It's because their roots have gone too far. No wind can shake them. No debt can shake them. No sickness can shake them. You must be rooted, child of God, in Christ. This is what we teach you. Be rooted and be built up in him. That's what we are doing right now, that you may be built up in him. After you're being built up in him, he says, be established in the faith. You have got to be established in the faith. Let me tell you, in these days that we have been in the past month, there are many people who have fallen off Christ because they were not rooted, they were not built in him, and they were not established in the faith. You understand? But you and I have got to dig deeper. The root has got to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. Verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you with the philosophy and vain deceit. There are men who have got vain deceit and philosophies that if you're not rooted in Christ, they will uproot you. Because their philosophies are, like it says, their philosophies are after the tradition of men. The tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, that's verse 8, and not after Christ. Everything that's not after Christ, run away from it. Run away from it. Do not even give it attention. You understand? I don't care whether it is in a it came in a Bentley. I don't care whether it came in a private jet. I don't care what suit it is putting on. I don't care what it looks like. Whether it has got lots of money, as long as it's not of Christ, run away from it. Amen. I said, for in him. Why? For in Christ, it says, run away from those. Because for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want anything, like, remember the fullness again. If you want something, he is the point of contact. He is the source of all fullness. Verse 10, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and all power. When we are in him, we are complete. When we are in him, we are complete, because in him dwells all goodness and all fullness. The fullness of the Godhead. Fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in him. All this requires patience, child of God. Being rooted in God, being established in God, because like I said, like he said in his word, there are many philosophies and many divine vain deceits that are, you know, being peddled, trying to move you away from the hope of the gospel. Yeah, many. And most of them are clothed in things like, look like truths, but they are traditions of men. They are not rooted in Christ. You need to be patient. You need to be patient. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Romans 8, 22. Our time is fast spent. Romans 8, 22. Mande rebro sikara brazen. Romans 8, verse 22. You're going to read quickly. Hallelujah. Are you there? If you're not there, I'll read. It says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Verse 23. And not only they, not only the creation, but ourselves too, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. We are saved by what? By hope. So whatever it is that you have not yet received and you're waiting from God, Keep on waiting from him. Keep on waiting from Jesus Christ, because he is, all fullness is in him. Keep up your hope. Do not walk away or run away from the hope of the gospel, the hope of the good news. It says, hope, you are saved by hope, so keep on hoping. Because hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for it? If you see it, why should you hope for it? Verse 25. But if we hope for that, for what we should not see, then we do it with patience. We patiently wait for it. Patiently wait for that which you are aspiring to get from God, because everything is in him. All fullness dwells in him. Hallelujah. All fullness dwells in him. That's why we need to be completely strong in him, rooted in him. Let's read Hebrews. Hebrews. If I can find it. Hebrews knows how to disappear from my Bible. Is there anybody like me? Hallelujah. Hebrews, we're going to read chapter 3. Where are you, Hebrews? Just remain stayed on the Lord. Do not move from him, because everything that you desire is locked up in him. That's what God desired. It pleased God that everything be locked up in him. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 5 to 6. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. You are his house, I'm his house. He says, if we continue to be his house, if we hold fast the confession or the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, we remain his house. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm, until the end. You need to remain firm in hope, hoping that he will come through for you. Christ will come through for you. He is going to come through for you. First Peter chapter 1, that's our last verse. First Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. I am rooted in him. You are rooted in Christ Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Nothing by shall any means harm you. Nothing by shall any means defeat you, because he in him is locked all fullness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. I am reading. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You see, the prophets prophesied, but the prophets once wanted to see this grace, but they could not see it. They wanted to see this grace, but they could not. They did not have the chance to see it. But they are envious that we are living in such a time. Verse 11: searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in him, in them, did signify. The Spirit of Christ was in them, but they did not experience the grace that we are in right now. When it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12. And to them it was revealed. It was revealed to them, but they did not see it. And to them it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Even the angels don't understand how God can treat us the way he treats us with such kind of love and grace. So that's why we cannot play around with it, my friend. You can't play around with what God has given us. We have to value it. So verse 13, whereof, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind, my friend. He says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope unto the... Let us finish well. Let us finish well by guarding up the loins of our minds. Loins of our mind, being ready to fight off and fend off anything that tries to come and take us away from the hope of the gospel. We fight because our minds are guarding this. We know the value that God has given us through Christ Jesus, and therefore we guard him in our minds. We guard him in our minds. We must be sober, because if we are drunk on other things, the devil comes and takes over. We have to be sober. The Bible says the devil is like what? Like a lion who is roaming up and down to do what? To find whom he may devour. But Peter says, be of a sober mind. You cannot defeat the enemy if you are drunk on stuff. You understand? Be sober and hope to the end. Do not lose hope, child of God. Hope to the end. Hope in the hope of the gospel. Because in the gospel is everything. It pleased God that he locks everything in Christ Jesus. Everything, the fullness of everything is in him. The fullness of life is in the gospel. So if we want to receive from Christ, if we want to keep on being children of God, we need to continue in the faith. Grounded in the faith, settled in the faith, not being moved away from the hope of the gospel, being sober-minded at all times, and being able to fend off everything, every persuasion that comes from man, all those philosophies and all those vain glories. We need to be able to fend them off, because they are built on the traditions of men. Ours is a tradition on Christ. We are built on Christ, the gospel. Christ, the hope of our glory. Therefore, hope in him until the end. Do not give in even an inch, just like our forefathers did in the Garden of Eden. God gave us Eden again. We cannot lose it again in the name of Jesus. We cannot lose it. Can't lose it. Let's fight for that in the name above every other name. Close those eyes where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I thank you, Father Lord, for your children. I thank you for myself. I thank you for this evening. You are giving us the unction to fight. Father, we are guarding the loins of our minds, my Father, to fend off anything, King of Kings, that comes to thwart us, to destroy us, and to move us out and away from our Eden, the Eden that you provided for us. When you came, you reconciled us back to God and took us back into the presence of God. And everything and every teaching and every philosophy from man that is built on the traditions of man that tries to pull us away, to draw us away from your presence, in Jesus' mighty name this evening, we destroy them right now. They have no force over our children. They will not have any effect on our lives. In the name above every other name, we refuse to be moved by anything that is not you, my Father. Because we know that King of Kings, all fullness dwells in you. You are our hope. Father, give us the power, the patience to wait upon you. The patience to wait upon the promises. The patience to know that you are surely coming through for us. Because even the prophets and the angels, King of Kings, when they look at us, they desire to be in such a dispensation. Father, may we, King of Kings, be children who know the dispensation, who value the Jesus Christ that you gave us, that we may stand firm, that we may be grounded in you, King of Kings, in our faith, and never turning away from the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, the hope of the gospel. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Be steadfast, be rooted, be confident in Christ, child of God, because the days in which we live are evil. Amen. But the more you're grounded in him, the more you are a conqueror in Jesus' mighty name. May the Lord bless you for being here tonight. May the Lord bless you for tuning in. It is well with you. It's going to be well with your family in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, because we remain immovable. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time.